This is the History Worth Saving podcast. Subscribe, follow, and share your story ideas at historyworthsaving.com. And a special thank you to our friends at The Conversion Mill for making this episode possible. The Conversion Mill turns your existing website visitors into paying customers. Find more at theconversionmill.com. That's theconversionmill.com. On this episode, we roll back into Texas to talk to my good buddy, Scott Trantham. I got to tell you, I met Scott when I was still working at a nightclub. My first job in radio, it had all but blown up. And the next thing I know, I am the nightclub entertainment DJ at a place called Shenanigans. My good buddy, Daryl Tarvin, still owns it. It's in Huntsville, Texas. Now, for those of you not blessed enough to live in Texas, let me give you the lay of the land. It's the largest Texas honky-tonk between Houston and Dallas. This place, it's enormous. 30,000 plus square feet. And, you know, back in the 90s, this place was, it was just unreal. I mean, we had the bull, the mechanical bull that had been in Urban Cowboy. I mean, come on. This is a place of redneck royalty, my friends. And I was the disc jockey there. I was the DJ, introduced all of the acts, and it was great fun. Crammed 4 years of college into six working there. Daryl is still a good friend. We got him interested in flying. He's still flying. And one of the guys that I met there, and that is, should I say this or not? Anyway, just between you and I, my good buddy Scott, who's joining me tonight, is largely the influence on one of the characters in Tales from High Bluff, stories my grandfather would like, about a guy that just, he's in a place in his life where things just aren't going well. His new wife hits him in the head with a jar of buttons. He gets a little drunk, gets on the road grader that he drives for the county, shows up to the bar, and tells the narrator, who may or may not be me, that she's left him. She hit him in the head with a jar of buttons, and she's left him. And oh, by the way, their little baby that was born on a rainy night, if she had been born on a sunny day, she would have been sunny, but she was born on a rainy night. Her name is Stormy. He's going to have to take care of her. And that's where the story picks up. And I want to welcome Scott Trantham on the show. Scott, how much of that is true and how much of it's fake? Should we play?
She didn't hit me with the jar of buttons and then leave. And I didn't get drunk and take the maintainer to the bar. But she did hit me with the jar of buttons.
That's right.
I'd been out working on a fence all day with my dad. And came in the house and, you know, got a shower, laid down on the couch. I wanted to relax some, and she wanted to go to the bar.
Come see us up there at Shenanigans.
Yes.
A high time.
Come see my buddy.
Yeah.
But I dozed off, and the next thing I know, she raising cane about wanting to go to the bar. And I was like, look, just leave me alone. And then after that, here comes the jar button. And then when I woke up, we went to the bar because it knocked me smooth out when she hit me with the button.
I remember the night. I remember it like it was yesterday. But the point in all of this is that sets you on a course, and you knew the marriage was over at that point, even though you came to the bar with her. But yeah. But you knew it was over, and you made a choice right then and there that your daughter would come to live with you. And I think that I say it in the book, I say at the end of the story after there's a lot of fun stuff that happens in there. And I hope people will read the book, but I say it in the book that I could lie to them and tell them some crazy story about how, you know, you ran off the rails or something and there was a police chase with the maintainer and all of this, but I don't, because what I love about your story is that, unlike so many other people who are in your position, especially, it seems like, especially like single dads, you know, they either step up like you do or they don't. And you stepped up in a big way. And I thank you for that. I thank you on behalf of everybody else out here in this big planet that we're all on for doing it, because you've raised a great daughter. Let's talk a little bit about that. What's your advice to the guy that's in your seat right now? He's sitting there. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe his dad's listening, and his dad's going to play this for him. What do you tell that young person?
One thing, no matter what, you know, you created that kid. You got to do whatever you can for him. You know, it's your responsibility to raise him up, get him to the age of being an adult or what they think is an adult, you know, and you can't just, you can't just put it off on somebody else. You know,
right.
I don't understand how any man would want another man raising their kid. And I know so many kids that their dads aren't a part of their life. I mean, I went today, one of my friends that I grew up with, she passed away the other day, and her daughter came to Huntsville to get the burial stuff set up and everything. And I met her and we talked for a while and all that. And, you know, her dad, she's one of the ones that her dad has never been a real big part of her life. Opted to go in the direction of not having anything to do with the kids. And that ain't right. You got to be there for them.
And you've coached all the softball tournaments. You've done all of that. And I just applaud you for it.
I know
it's not easy though. But you've made it.
Trust me, we've been to all kinds of softball tournaments. You know, Stormy's 18 now. You know, she not playing softball anymore, but I'm still stuck coaching softball.
Yeah, and fishing a lot.
I try to fish every chance I can, especially in the salt water.
I want to rewind a little bit, and you sort of left it out there about Stormy. That's the only real name in the book. I'll just say that because I think the story is so great. Let's rewind just a little bit. We'll get back into this. You and I, we met there, and you and I were friends right off the bat.
Yeah.
Back then, Scott, just to paint the picture here for those of you that aren't sitting across from us here at our little table here that we're pretending to be at, back then, Scott had he was all business in the front and all party in the back. I mean, he had you had the Billy Ray Cyrus look, and you were on a mission down there. Now you've been driving. Yeah. How long have you been driving the road grader now?
I went to work for the county in '93, June 7th of
'93.
Late for work my first day.
And you live in a town that's named after an STD. That's the only way to put it. At least it used to be. But anyway, we'll just leave that alone. I'll fill that in later. But you'd come up there and hang out and have a good time. And when I met you, this could be true or let's just say true or false. Let's play a little game of fact versus fiction here, because some of this is in the book, some of it's not. Fact or fiction that you may or may not have shot something at your propane tank.
You would be talking about the bottle rocket.
In fact, but did you ever own a bass in your aquarium?
Oh, yeah. I would prefer to get fish out of a pond and put in an aquarium than I would to go buy one.
Okay, so the bottle rockets, because I know what you're thinking. The bottle rockets and the bass, that's all true.
Yeah, it is true.
I love it. And the road grader driving it to the bar, as you said earlier, that was not true.
No,
that,
no.
But
no.
It would have been.
Well,
could have been.
Can't drink on the job, so you know,
it would have been a quick one. So we had a lot of fun up there. No kidding. It was a crazy place to work. Were you there the night that Vanilla Ice played?
No. I did not come up there that night. I refused to go.
That was a crazy night. Let me tell you, all these country folk in there. And then here comes Vanilla Ice. That was a wild night. And we had all gone over to the restaurant next door. Remember that? Remember the Mexican food restaurant next door?
Yeah, it's still there.
Well, it looks a lot different than it did back then. I mean, it's really cleaned up well, but back then it was not.
Yeah, that is true.
Those guys were putting stuff in the margaritas back when we were going, and you couldn't stand up after you. So here's this highly inebriated performer walking over with us, and it was an interesting show. What were some of the concerts that you came? Because we had everybody coming through that place back then. Who were some of the folks that you saw?
The Bellamy Brothers, saw them several times.
Yeah.
You know,
John Conley.
John Conley.
Gene Watson.
Gene Watson, seeing him.
Were you there the night that the I don't know how else to say it. It was the closest I ever saw the place to Roadhouse. Remember the night that Mark Chestnut showed up and sang?
Yes.
Like,
oh my goodness.
Sang like
I
one
forgot
song.
All about that.
and left.
I forgot all about that.
Well, I didn't. I was on the receiving end of the beer bottles as they were coming up. You know, he said, "Sorry, folks, can't do it tonight." And he was sick. He was really sick. And he just unplugged the guitar. And I mean, it was to paint the picture of Shenanigans. We had two different types of people. We had lumberjacks and prison guards. and then they were mixed in with a bunch of college kids, and you know, it was a fun place, but it was an interesting mix of people.
That is true, and for the most part, everybody got along.
Except that night with Mark Chestnut, that turned into
got a point there.
Nobody got along with poor old Mr. Chestnut that night. It was felt bad for him. Yeah, so it was a fun place to go, and it was a fun place to visit, and it's still open. Daryl Tarvin, who may or may not be DT in the book, was one of the most creative guys. Were you there the night? And this is in the book, but were you there the night that he hired the male strippers? Were you there that night?
Oh God, yes. No, I was not there.
But you know the story. No. Everybody knows the story.
Yes, I know the story. I know that. I know some of the people that he hired, and they actually, I don't believe they were strippers because some of them lived in Huntsville.
Well, now that's, you know, some poetic license, but they did dance, and there was a tarp strung up along the center of the floor, which was like 3,000 square feet. And at the end of the night, in DT's own words, at midnight, he cut the tarp down. And they all got it on, is what he said. I'll never forget those words.
But
it was a crazy night, and there was no nudity. But yes, of course, the next morning,
I
it was protested by the Baptist Church and everybody in town. And
I did not show up the night of the Chippendale dance.
Yeah, well, you missed a good.
I wasn't going out like that.
Now, what about the night that the gals body slammed old Fitch? Remember that poor fella that put our good buddy, he was a cop up there. It was a winter night. The only time we ever had any fights were in the winter and right around the holidays. And this couple came in there. I don't know if you remember. Were you there that night that the cop got body slammed? She literally jumped up off the rails and body slammed this poor guy. It's never the women. You're never watching the women, but it's always the women that start this stuff.
They mean.
They are. As you're living proof of that. We had a great time, and I'll tell you, you can't tell stories about that place without bringing up one guy in particular, and that is H.B. Lawson. Give me a Smooth story, because Smooth was the oldest working cowboy in the state. And
Smooth, 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 Smooth loved to get in the shadow box. And he would undo his belt and sit there and swing it out in circles like it wasn't his belt.
Yeah. Well, he was, and how old was he? Does anybody really know? Because he looked looked older than a lot of guys.
I think he was 123.
I think you're probably right. He looked about it, and his picture still hangs in the front of there. I have his picture up in my barn, and it's one of my prized possessions. And I mean this because he would come up there to dance, but he ran the posse for the state prison system. And when someone would get, out of prison and escape, Smooth was the cowboy that chased him on horse and had a whole bunch of
them.
They went with him. And
that is true.
He was the real deal.
He was a show enough character.
So now that you've raised Stormy up, and that's true. If she had been born on a sunny day, it was going to, what was the name on a sunny day?
I didn't have it figured out.
But on a stormy day.
Well, the story with that is when Stormy's mom was about 3 or 4 months pregnant, we spent at least 1 or 2 days during the month going to the hospital because she's, I'm in labor. Mm. And doctors check it. No, you're not in labor. Well, the weekend before Stormy was born, we were back at the hospital. And it was pouring down rain. I was looking out the window, and one of the nurses was talking to Stormy's mom and said, have y'all came up with any names? And Stormy's mom was like, well, no, we haven't nailed a name down yet. And of course, I was looking out the window watching it pour down rain, and I said, well, if she's born today, don't name her Stormy Renee. And the name just stuck. Of course, 10 minutes later, the doctor comes in. No, you're not allowed to go home. And we went home, and then the next weekend, after leaving Shenanigans, we come home, go to bed. Then that next morning, get woke up at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, oh, look, I'm in labor. And I told her, we go up there today and they say you're not in labor. You're staying till Stormy Renee's born. Of course, that day it was a nice sunny day.
Yeah. but the name stuck.
That's how the name came about.
I remember you telling everybody. You sort of pronounced it there at Shenanigans, and that is true. It never left me that story. And anyway, but we sit here and we joke now, and we had a great time back then, and it was a lot of fun. But you really did. You stood up, and you pushed forward with it. And that's what I think is so incredible, is how you raised this young lady who's doing really well now. She's graduated from high school. She's got a job. She's working. And you're kind of looking down the other pathway here now and maybe figure out where and what you want to do. Cause you're not far from retirement now because you started driving that maintainer some 20 years ago.
I think I've been there since June of 93.
That's math in public. What, we're going to get
26 years.
Yeah. Going to get dangerous here, Scott. Yeah.
I understand.
And you've been there and, you're not late on your first day anymore. And, you got it figured out, but you really grew up around, watching Stormy grow up. And I think I think that's really cool. Fact or fiction. At one time, did you not live on the same street as a guy by the name of National Rodeo Champion?
Yeah. National lived, a quarter of a mile around the Spring Circle from me.
There you go. Right there by my other buddy, Bob.
Right across from, almost right across from Bob.
Yeah.
National was in the trailer house across from Bob.
Well, of course he was.
Kind of catty corner.
Yeah.
There was also another guy that he lived straight across the road from me. His name was Miles Hare. He was a rodeo clown. Well, he worked Houston and all that stuff.
And National was a big deal. I mean, he really was. He was a big deal. That whole family's been big. I just think the name.
That is true.
You can't forget a name like that, and you can't forget a name like Stormy.
I understand.
You just can't. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So it's all going to go in the book. I'm just apologizing right now.
I understand.
No. Here's the memory that I wanted to save this till last, because in spite of everything you've been through, the other moment that I wanted to bring up that I think is so critical to talk about is your character as a man and the way that the way it all came about. I was in your wedding, and of course it didn't go very well.
Yeah, you're the best man.
I'm sorry you couldn't pick a better one, but.
See what you did.
Yeah, I know. Look what you did. So there we are in the park, and the wedding goes off. It was fine. And we get back home, and the big attraction. And in Texas, and I kind of talk about this in the book. In Texas, everybody sells the wedding, right? I mean, it's you ought to come to the wedding. We've got Lone Star. They're going to be playing, or whatever the band is, or something. The attraction at your wedding. Were the little Christmas lights from the movie Hope Floats, and I'm not making this up. You had a strand of them, and
I had. There was, I think, 6 or 7 strands of them hanging in the ceiling in the living room,
and they were actually
from that movie.
And we got out there to the house, and the power's been cut off right after the wedding.
No. No, the power didn't get cut off. That's fiction there.
That's in the book.
No, that's fiction there. The power didn't get cut off. It didn't take the house, and I wasn't sitting on the porch. But
other than that, it's all true. I was just waiting for you to go with it. Now, don't go giving them all the details yet, because
I'm sorry.
They got to buy the book, you know. No. I think what we're going to do, we're going to make this chapter available for people. And if they want to buy the book, they can buy the book. And if they don't, well, they just don't know good entertainment. But but the house did. It was lit up well. And it was a great event. And there was a fun time. And then, then the jar of buttons came out. And I've always wanted to ask you this, who keeps a jar of buttons in their house?
Well, That was my doing. We had at work, we had changed uniforms, and for some reason, you know, the company didn't want the shirts back. They said y'all keep them. Well, for some reason, I thought, you know, I might be able to use these buttons for something one day. Well, I have no idea. I cut all the buttons off the shirts before I threw them away, and I put them in a dadgum pint-sized jar. So it was my fault.
It was your fault
that with the jar of buttons
that you saved off of your work shirts.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the bass? Someone's going to ask about this, and you're already past the statute of limitations, so the game better not be able to come after you. But what happened to the bass?
I let it go at a friend of mine's house. In the pond.
That's not a very good story.
Well, that's what happened.
When I decided,
okay, don't get rid of the aquarium, I took all the fish and went and put them in his pond.
There you go. I told you were going to start talking. We're already running.
It was catch and release.
That's right. We're already out of time. Scott, what do you want people to know about the Scott Trantham story? When it's all said and done, like 100 years from now, they're looking back. What do you want people to say about you?
Man, I ain't got a clue.
Story's not over yet, is it?
No.
Got a long way to go and a lot of fish to catch.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know, you may have to write another book.
I think I'm going to. I plan on it. If this one sells, I plan on it. Buddy, thanks for being here, though, tonight.
When I retire, I'm going to have to come up there and visit y'all.
You come on anytime, and I really appreciate your time tonight. And
all right, brother.
We'll talk real soon. My good buddy Scott, everybody, Scott Trantham. I'm not going to say he's the real Jude Williams, but he's damn close.
And I can move the earth.
That's right. You can every day of the work week. There you go. Listen, it's been fun having you here, bud, and it's been fun having you here. Check us out online at historyworthsaving.com. Real American stories. Great stories told here. If you're a single dad, if you are standing there right now, not knowing what to do, there's a lot of Scots out there. They got your back. You can do this. You got it. Trust me. Trust me on this. You got this. Be a Scot, man. Raise that kid. And before you know it, you'll be out there fishing with him, just like he is today. Listen, sign up for the newsletter, historyworthsaving.com. Sign up for the monthly newsletter. Join the Facebook group. We have a great group. It's a growing group of people on Facebook. That's the way we get these stories, folks. The page is great, but please jump in there to the group. And until next time, get out there and meet your neighbors. There's a lot of great stories to tell. We'll see you next time here on History Worth Saving. Thank you.